qu'on va commencer la deuxième session, non?
Hopefully everybody's there.
Oui, j'espère que tout le monde va retourner, tout le monde là.
Okay, so I'm going to start the PowerPoint
yes,
again.
Yes.
Good. All right. Is there maybe one or two questions at this point, or can we start the new teaching?
Est-ce qu'il y a une question? Une autre question? Rodney Joseph.
Okay.
Sur le chat, là,
oui. Oh, vraiment. Okay. There's a question in the chat. Who's Jean-Joël Code? Oui. Papi Joe dit que selon compréhension, l'assemblée biblique a gagné temps canonisé avant l'arrivée des prêtres. Des pères de l'Église sur la scène. Sinon, qui ça, y a pas mentionné yo dans la Bible. Thank you, John and Regina. We are learning so much. Okay. Jean-Joël has a question. From what you understand, it looks like the Bible had already been canonized before. The church fathers came to the scene. If not, why didn't they mention them in the Bible?
Okay, I don't know how they could mention the canon in the Bible. That honestly, that doesn't make sense.
So it looks like from what you understand that the Bible was already canonized before the fathers of the church, before the early fathers of the church came to the scene, right?
Right.
If not, why didn't they mention them in the Bible?
All right. First of all, it doesn't make sense they could mention the canon in the Bible. That doesn't really make sense.
So ça pas fait sens pour te mentionner
sorry, because the Bible, the New Testament had to be completed before the canon could be collected.
Parce que faut un Nouveau Testament être complet avant que il ait écrit la Bible.
In fact, it was the church fathers who created the canon.
En effet, c'était Père l'Église qui a créé canon.
It was a organic process that happened over time.
C'était un processus organique qui était prend de temps.
By the year 100 AD, there's good evidence that all four gospels were already being passed among the churches.
C'est gros évidence que toutes quatre l'évangile était déjà passé dans l'église là.
There's also strong evidence by about 95
AD,
a group of Paul's letters were also passing around the churches. But by the year 100 AD, the canon was not established yet. Books like Revelation and 2nd and 3rd John and even Hebrews were not necessarily considered part of the canon at that point. As late as 150 AD, there were some debates about which books should be in the New Testament.
In the année 150, il y a un débat côté que t'as questionné qui livre qui supposé fait partie du canon.
But Irenaeus, around 170 AD or 160 AD?
Mais il est né à partir de l'année 170.
He quoted from all 27 books and he gave a canon which had the same 27 books.
Lui et fait référence tout 27 livres Nouveau Testament.
But even Irenaeus, around 165 AD, said there's some debate.
Même Irenaeus, à partir de l'année 65, a dit qu'il y avait des débats.
There was some debate about the book of Revelation.
Débat sur le livre Apocalypse.
Also, 2 Peter and 2 and 3 John.
Et tout sur le livre lettre de Pierre-là avec, is it 1st, 2nd and 3rd John or the letters of John?
No, 2nd and 3rd John.
Deuxième et troisième lettre de Jean.
And by 200 AD, discussions were still being had. But really, the canon was completely established by 200 AD.
Mais vraiment, le canon était complètement établi dans l'année 200.
But it was not established before the Church Fathers. It was established by the Church Fathers.
Il n'était pas établi avant Père l'Église, mais il était établi après parce que c'est eux-mêmes qui étaient.
But it was a process.
C'était un processus.
And it was by consensus. By about 150 AD, the consensus was nearly complete.
À partir de l'année 150, le consensus était presque établi.
And by 200 AD, it was essentially complete.
Et la nouvelle année 200 était essentiellement établi, mais complètement établi.
So that's the answer.
Ça, c'est la réponse, moi. It looks like Jean-Joël agreed with the answer.
Okay, so let's start the class now. Going back to...
I think there are some more hands that are raised. I don't know, are you taking one more
I'll take one more question, yes, sure.
Okay, j'en apprends la question. Qui est-ce qui mouette gagne ou n'y gagne ou de l'air? Qui est-ce qui voulait poser question?
Donc, je ne sais pas si vous avez une occasion, vous avez une cabane. Merci John, merci Regina pour classe et pour ta discussion. Donc, ce n'est pas une question, question, mais c'est son rappel. Parce que, étant donné que je n'ai pas de bon problème, donc, je m'attendais classe à la avec un peu de coupure là-dedans. Donc, mais il y a un bail que je devrais pas être un petit peu clair là-dedans parce que je ne peux vraiment entendre. Parce que Dieu n'était pas l'état là de péché. Il y a un péché qui casse pour petit salut et il y a un péché tout qui casse pour petit salut. Et puis, il dit que il était parlé de baptême avec pénitence. Il était dit que baptême, non, il prend soin de péché originel. Bah, si je me trompe. Et puis, pour pénitence, là, je ne peux vraiment entendre petit détail qui était basé sur yo, donc ma bonne est ici, aider moi sans ça.
Ok, Jan et Ronnie has, it's more of a, it's not a question, but a rappel. he wants to, he's having a problem with his internet, so some of the things that he's hearing, there are some issues like hearing you well. He wanted to clarify, you talk about sin that can make us lose salvation.
Right.
You talk about baptism and penance. He wanted to be a little bit more clear about that. I guess he misses the full conversation with that topic.
I'm going to talk about that more in the next session.
Okay, il va parler de ça plus na prochaine session.
But the Bible teaches
Même Bible enseigne
that if we walk in the light,
si nous marchons dans la lumière,
as he is in the light,
même Jean Lui la lumière, ou bien Jésus la lumière.
We have fellowship with God.
Nous entrons en fellowship avec bon Dieu.
And His blood cleanses us from all sins.
Et sans lui, nettoie-nous de tout péché.
So this idea of a mortal sin is not a biblical idea at all.
So idée de péché mortel, pas biblique du tout.
For example, they would teach that suicide is a mortal sin.
Par exemple, ils enseignaient que le suicide était tout et son péché mortel.
But if you commit suicide, you can't perform penance.
Mais si vous suicidez tout, pas capable de faire pénitence.
So suicide is automatic ticket to hell.
So le suicide était tout, c'est un ticket automatique à l'enfer.
But that's not biblical.
Mais ça pas biblique.
The idea of mortal sin is not in the Bible at all.
L'idée de péché mortel là, pas dans la Bible du tout.
But this was a teaching that began already in the 3rd century.
Ça c'est un enseignement qui déjà a commencé dans le 3e siècle.
And part of the problem was the bishops controlled the system.
Partie problème là c'est que évêques ont contrôlé le système là.
So therefore the bishops controlled salvation.
Et ils ont aussi contrôlé salut.
And again, like we said, beginning with Irenaeus, salvation is taught that it's found in the church, not in Christ.
Oui, comme nous dit, commencer depuis sous Irénée, que salut est trouvé dans l'église là, non pas dans Christ. C'est ça que nous avons enseigné depuis qu'on a commencé sous Irénée.
And again, it's a gradual process.
Encore, c'est un processus qui est très, très graduel.
First, we teach that the tradition comes from the bishops.
Premièrement, nous enseignons que la tradition est sortie à travers l'évêque.
And then we teach that salvation is found in the church.
Et que nous enseignons que salut, ou trouver salut à travers l'église là.
And later, it's from penance.
Et après, c'est à travers pénitence.
And then eventually we have sacrament, salvation through sacrament.
I'm sorry?
Salvation through sacrament.
Oui. Éventuellement, nous venons un sacrement. Nous venons saluer nous à travers sacrement saillot, pratique sacrement saillot.
Okay, one more question and then the class.
On l'autre question et la
prochaine. From Widler.
Widler.
Ok. Bon, mais une question à me poser. Alors, je pense que l'important, c'est nous, dans l'histoire de l'Église, à dérive, yo vini de yo commence avec père l'église. Quand elle a ce qui réponse nous ka ba yon moun qui pensait que pratique ça yo par exemple baptême bébé c'est diabolique et li conduit moun sa yo à perdre de salut yo. Ce qui réponse nous ka ba yon moun qui pensait comme ça, qui pensait le fait que yon moun te baptise petit bébé que mouri li va dans l'enfer et que pratique ça yo c'est pratique diabolique. C'est qui yon pense nou ka fay?
OK. Ou parler de des soi l'église là des rivières comment ça traverse par l'église yo. Et que qui est pense que capable bay moun de et moi qui baptisé OK on dit que mon a baptisé bébé et puis mon a vienne mourir et que mon a pas aller dans l'enfer pas vrai
non alors bien mon qui pensait yo qui bien pratique ça veut dire travers le temps et même jodi a donc c'est diabolique et que yo pas dans l'enfer c'est qui répond alors c'est répond protestant, m'a dit ça. Parce que protestant, vous pensez, pratique ça, c'est pratique diabolique. Et que, en réalité, il est baptisé bébé, il est mouru, donc il est allé à la qui le porte à mon sein.
Ok. Mais, qui me pose tout, est-ce que c'est ça que nous croyons tout? Parce que l'autre protestant, ça englobé nous, l'église nous a tout. Est-ce que.
Non, pas sûr de ça. Parce que c'est vraiment respecté. C'est ça pour... Parce que si... Moi-même, trouver le monde qui parlait de ça, qui parlait par exemple de la copie, le monde qui était initié bagage, ça y est dans le temps, c'est ça qui est fait initié, et que c'est dans l'enfer où aller.
Ok. Voilà.
Ah, ouais. C'était pour éclairer quand même les groupes-là sur qui réponse qui correspond par rapport à la question, ça y est, parce que il n'y a pas comment
tu veux. Est-ce que vous appelez dans l'enfer ou pas? Ok. Ah ouais. John, are you there? Okay.
Yes.
So Whitler's question is that we know that the church started the drifting, and that started with the father of the church, of the early churches. Especially now, you talk about the baptism of infants, how that started, and nowadays, especially in the Protestants, and nowadays they think that the big criticism is that the people who got baptized as infants and then who become adults and died, that those people are going to hell because according to the Protestant faith, these people are not saved. When they die, they're going to hell. So when people come to us with those kind of questions, like how do we answer them? What answer do we give to people who think that baptism of infants is evil?
Yeah. Now, first of all, the Protestants also practice infant baptism.
Premièrement, les protestants aussi pratiquent baptême enfant, baptême bébé.
All the Protestants practice infant baptism.
Tous les protestants pratiquent baptême bébé.
The Lutherans, the Calvinists, they all practice infant baptism.
Luthériens, calvinistes, tous pratiquent baptême bébé.
The first group to restore baptism of adults.
Premier groupe qui était restauré baptême adulte.
We'll learn about that. It would be the Anabaptists.
C'était Anabaptiste.
So the question is, how do we defend against infant baptism?
Question, c'est que comment peut-on défendre baptême bébé?
Because we read the Bible.
Comment lisons la Bible?
And in Acts chapter 2, they asked, what must we do to be saved?
Dans Acts chapitre 2, il demandait qu'est-ce que nous devons faire pour nous sauver.
He said, repent and be baptized.
Il dit, repenti et be baptisé.
The only person biblically who can be baptized is somebody who's repented.
Un seul monde qui est capable de baptiser, qui est bibliquement baptisé, c'est un monde qui repentit.
And obviously, babies can't repent. And besides, if you separate faith from salvation, it's not even Christianity. And certainly a baby cannot have faith in Jesus. So people try to defend infant baptism on historical grounds. But the history doesn't agree with that. Because we know for the first 200 years, infant baptism was not practiced in the church. So what we need to do is just simply teach the Bible.
Ça pour nous faire, c'est juste simplement enseigner la Bible.
People need to accept the message.
On est supposé accepter le message.
Understand that Jesus died for their sins.
Pour comprendre que Jésus mourit pour péché.
Accept him as Lord.
Accepter Jésus comme sauveur.
Repent of our sins.
Repentir de péché.
And be baptized.
Et bien baptisé.
That's just the outline of Acts chapter 2.
Ça, c'est résumé Acts chapitre 2.
People say that Acts 16 proves that babies were baptized.
Il y a quelqu'un qui dit que Acts 16 prouvait que bébé était baptisé.
Because it says the Philippian jailer and his whole family were baptized.
Parce qu'il dit là, non, que un soldat philippien avec une famille de baptisé.
But the same person who wrote that,
même monde qui t'a écrit ça,
Luke, he also wrote Acts chapter 2.
Et lui-même qui t'a écrit Acts chapitre 2.
So obviously what he means
évidemment ça que lui dit,
is the whole family repented and were baptized.
Que toute famille a repenti et été baptisée.
Obviously, the ones who could not repent weren't baptized.
Évidemment, monde qui pas repenti yo pas baptisé. Pas pas baptisé.
So does that answer the question?
Est-ce que ça répond à la question?
I hope so.
Moi, je vais espérer ça.
All right, let's go to the class.
Okay, I'm going to turn on the class.
We have a lot of material to cover. Next, let's talk about the persecution, the early persecution.
Okay, nous allons parler de persécution.
Now, we understand that there was persecution of the church in the first century.
Nous comprenons que tu gagnais persécution dans l'église là commence à partir du premier siècle.
But actually, the number of martyrs in the first century was relatively low.
Actuellement, le nombre de martyrs qui étaient gagnés dans le premier siècle était très bas.
It wasn't until the end of the first century that Christianity was made illegal.
C'était à partir de la fin du premier siècle que la chrétienté devint illégale.
Even in the second century,
même dans le deuxième siècle,
martyrdoms definitely happened, but they were isolated cases. Tertullian said at the end of the second century, he said, the more we're cut down by you, the more we grow in number. He said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Basically, what he said is the policy of killing Christians was creating more Christians. But the greatest persecutions of the church didn't happen until the third century. By the middle of the third century, Christianity was becoming so common perhaps as much as 5 or 10% of the entire Roman population. That the emperors got nervous and they started persecuting the church. So Decius in 249 AD and Valerian in 253
AD
began the first empire-wide persecution of the church. They tried to completely destroy the church. They arrested bishops in almost every city. This is when they ordered all Roman citizens to burn incense and to pour an offering to a god. And to eat meat sacrificed to an idol. Those who did so were given a certificate saying they're okay. Those who refused, which were mostly Christians, they would lose their job. Possibly arrested.
et possiblement il a arrêté,
sent into exile and executed. Cyprian of Carthage, I mentioned him earlier.
Cyprian de Carthage, j'ai mentionné ça avant.
He was executed.
Il était exécuté.
Sixtus, the bishop of Rome, was also executed.
Sixtus, son bishop, un évêque à Rome, était exécuté.
The bishops in most of the major cities were all executed.
Tout évêque dans toute ville majeure a été exécuté.
Many Christians were very faithful. But many Christians were not faithful. They actually offered the sacrifice. This persecution lasted for about 6 years. And it had a very negative effect. And it didn't work. So the empire stopped the persecution. And many came back to the church. Including those who had compromised. And some said, no, you cannot be part of the church again. Others said, if you offer penance, we'll receive you back in the church. The one that said, no, you could never be part of the church again, that became the Novation group. And they refused to fellowship those who had been, who had made that compromise. So here in the middle of the third century is the first time you have two separate churches in the same city. You'd have a Novation church and then the Orthodox church. And then the greatest persecution in the entire history of Christianity was at the beginning of the 4th century. Diocletian began this persecution.
Diocletian a commencé persécution ça.
They ordered that all scriptures must be burned. They tore most church buildings to the ground. The earlier persecution under Decius primarily went after the leaders of the church. But Diocletian went after even the members of the church, and thousands were executed. This is when another group started, the Donatists. Donatistes. Especially in North Africa. They said anybody who had compromised is cannot lead a church, cannot be a bishop. The ones who had compromised with Rome, they called them the traitors.
La foi avec Romain, il y a eu les trahisons.
And those who had been traitors could no longer be priests. Okay, next, Constantine. I'm sure you've heard of Constantine. He became powerful during the time of this persecution by Decius. The persecution didn't work. The church grew even more. The more they persecuted the church, the more the church grew. So Rome changed its policy.
So en plus que tout autant qu'il a persécuté l'église et tout autant que l'église a grandi, so Rome est venu changer la politique.
So Constantine in the year 313 AD.
Constantin en année 313.
Yes.
313.
He published the Edit de Milan, right? It says right there.
Yeah.
And they said Christianity from now on will be tolerated. No more persecution. Constantine's mother was a very devout Christian.
Maman Constantin, c'était un chrétien fidèle.
Whether Constantine was a true Christian or not is somewhat debated. Because he probably wasn't even baptized until he was on his deathbed. To the early church, Constantine was a great hero. He saved Christianity from the persecutions. But now if we look back at Constantine from history, we're not so sure. It was both good and bad. Because once Christianity became legal, it was no longer dangerous to be a Christian. The persecution kept the church pure. Up until this time, almost all the Christians were true disciples of Jesus. But after this time, by the end of the 4th century, hundreds of thousands submitted to baptism, and most of them weren't even disciples. So the church was diluted.
So l'église là devient
By 400 AD, only a very small fraction of the people in the church were disciples. This is when people began to leave the church to go into the desert to become hermits.
To be
monks or nuns. Because they found that it was hard to be a Christian in the church. One thing that Constantine did that was very important, he called for what's known as the Council of Nicaea. Nicée.
Concile Nicée.
This is 325 AD.
C'est en année 325 AD.
This is when the heresy known as Arianism became important. Arius was a priest in Alexandria.
Arius était un prêtre en Alexandre.
And he emphasized the humanity of Jesus more than his deity.
Il était accentué plus sur l'humanité de Jésus au lieu de sur divinité Jésus.
In Alexandria, they exaggerated the deity of Jesus and reduced his humanity.
In Alexandria, they accentuated the divinity of Jesus and they didn't accentuate the humanity of Jesus.
So Arius swung the pendulum in the exact opposite direction.
So Arius, they swung the pendulum in the opposite direction.
And he said that Jesus was not God.
Il dit que Jésus pas Dieu.
He said Jesus was created by God.
Il dit que Jésus était créé par Dieu.
He said there was a time when he was not.
Il dit que était grand temps que Jésus pas Dieu.
And many Christians accepted the Arian teaching.
Un peu chrétien était accepté enseignement arien.
Which could have destroyed Christianity. So most of the church said Jesus is divine. Like Tertullian, they said he is of the same substance as the Father. But many, many agreed with Arius, so there was a fighting going on. The evidence is that Constantine agreed with Arius. But he called the Council of Nicaea in order to settle the question.
Et il était fait appel avec Concile Nicéa pour être capable de résoudre le problème ça.
This was the first meeting of all the bishops of the churches.
C'était la première rencontre qui était faite avec toutes évêques l'église là.
So this council decided what the doctrine of Christianity was going to be.
Concile ça a décidé qui sa doctrine à l'église là t'a supposé.
This raises interesting questions for us. How do we decide what our fellowship believes? Should we have a council of the leaders of our churches and announce the decision? So anyway, they had a vote.
De toute façon, il était pour un vote.
And Arius lost.
Et puis Arius était perdu.
And the correct doctrine about Jesus won the vote.
Et correct doctrine de Jésus a gagné vote là.
And they published what became known as the Nicene Creed. You want to read the first paragraph?
Where are we?
Nous croyons en un seul. Yeah.
Nous croyons en un seul Dieu, le Père Tout-Puissant, Créateur du ciel et de la terre, et de toutes les choses visibles et invisibles, et en un seul Seigneur, Jésus-Christ, le Fils unique de Dieu, engendré par le Père avant tous les mondes. Dieu de Dieu, lumière de lumière, Dieu même de Dieu même, engendré, non créé, étant d'une seule substance. Homoios, de la même substance, consistentiel par opposition à Homoniosios. Avec le Père, par qui tout a été fait.
Okay, so that's good enough. So here you have it. So here you have the Nicene Creed.
Là, nous gagnons un credo nicéen.
Which says Jesus is God.
Il dit que Jésus, c'est Dieu.
He's of the same substance as God.
Les mêmes substances avec Dieu.
Do you agree with the Nicene Creed?
Est-ce que nous agree avec credo nicéen?
Do you agree with what is said in the Nicene Creed?
Est-ce que nous agree avec ça qui dit le credo nicéen?
Actually, I do.
Actuellement, moi d'accord.
I accept the things there are actually correct understanding of the scripture.
Moi accepte que ça qui là dans nous c'est compréhension correcte de l'écriture.
And this creed determined the future history of Christianity.
Et credo ça a déterminé futur chrétienté ou bien futur l'église.
Because all groups since the Council of Nicaea have accepted it as true.
Et tout groupe à partir de Conseil ça ou bien de credo ça, tout groupe a accepté que credo ça vrai.
Now the ICOC does not use creeds.
ICOC l'église non pas utiliser credo.
We say only the Bible, yes?
Non, juste dit seulement Bible, en pas vrai.
And yet our understanding is influenced by the Council of Nicaea. Now that's not the only thing they did at the Council of Nicaea. They also pronounced a number of, how do you call it, disfellowshipping or...
disfellowshipping, c'est là que qu'il est pour nous et pour moi ne peut pas faire partie de l'église là encore, pour nous pas mettre mon église là encore.
Discommunier.
Communier.
Yeah. The word would be anathema.
Moi, c'est anathema.
They said anathema.
Is it anathema? Anathema, is that a Latin word?
I think it's Greek.
Oh, Greek, okay.
They said...
Anathema, c'est un mot grec.
Anyone who says there was a time when he was not, that's anathema.
I'm sorry, what's anathema, you said?
Those who say, like Arius, there was a time when he was not.
Okay. Mon qui, même j'avais Arius, il y a un temps que vous n'avez pas fait partie de l'église là.
So they said anathema on Arius. So, they defined the idea of Trinity. It was a problem for them because they used a word that wasn't in the Bible. The word homoousios. Which means same substance, one substance. They also published a list of the 27 New Testament books. But this was the same list that had been in use for 150 years.
C'est même liste qui était en utilisation pendant 150 ans.
And they published a bunch of canons or rules for the church. For their creed, they said, we believe. For the canons, they said, we decide.
Alright,
I think we can skip that slide. Yes. Maybe. So then they had other councils. For example, the Council of Constantinople in 381.
Par exemple, Concile Constantinople là qui était arrivé en année 381.
At this council they said the Holy Spirit is also of one substance with the Father and the Son.
Concile ça a dit que Saint-Esprit est de même substance avec papa et petite là.
I don't have time to talk about Basil of Caesarea or Gregory of Nazian. Let's talk about a later council, Chalcedon.
So you're going to talk about Chalcedon?
Here, okay. We're getting near the end of our study of primitive Christianity.
The end of
primitive Christianity, the early church.
Okay. L'église première là, l'église primitive.
In fact, volume 1 of my church history.
En effet, volume 1 de histoire l'église là.
It ends with the Council of Chalcedon.
Chalcedon, 451 AD.
Now, in the Council of Nicaea, and in the Council of Ephesus, they settled the question of who is God. And the idea of Trinity was established as official doctrine of the church. But that did not end all the important theological questions. So they settled the question of who is God, but next the question is, who is Jesus? There were two groups within the church. Some, such as in Alexandria, some in Alexandria primarily emphasize Jesus' deity. Right, they primarily emphasize that Jesus' deity.
Okay, they accentuate divinité Jésus.
And they virtually ignored his humanity. There was another wing or another part of the church, especially in Antioch, that emphasized his humanity. Eventually, the Nestorian church was established, which primarily emphasized his humanity. But the decision at Chalcedon was this. Jesus is perfectly and completely God. And Jesus is perfectly and completely human. From his birth, he was God. And from his birth, he was human. I think we all would agree with that. But unfortunately, it's 1 minute before 11, so we need to finish.
Et malheureusement, une minute avant 11h, nous n'a fini, n'a terminé.
We'll talk about that much next week.
N'a pas les plus de ça semaine prochaine.
No quiz this week.
Pas gagné quiz semaine ça.
If you want, maybe I could take one or two questions.
Si vous voulez, on est capable de prendre une ou bien deux questions.